Yes, that is. I am Maurice. It's good to be with you folks today. I am with A. Hanny Manshaven in the A. Hanny Manshaven radio studio. We're transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. So we're here today to discuss various facets of remodeling and other activities that are going on within the home industry, since that is most of our expertise down at A. Hanny Manshaven. Our Tucson location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That puts us six blocks south of 22nd Street on South 6th Avenue. We're actually between 27th and 28th Street on the west side of the road structure. As many of us know that have been around Tucson for a while, that 6th Avenue was the main highway, so to speak, through Tucson as you went northbound into the center of town and then picked up Stone Avenue, headed out towards Drachman and then over towards Miracle Mile and then on over to the Casa Grande Highway. So we're six blocks north of 22nd Street, the big yellow building. Our phone number there is 520-624-7200. Hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. We have a Green Valley location, which is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103. And I like to say that many of the people in Green Valley have eaten at the fine restaurant there, Manuel's Mexican Food Restaurant. When you walk out the front door heading southbound, if you continue across the area there, you'll probably walk right into Suite 103 Alpha on 125 West Calle de las Tiendas. Hours of operation generally are between 8:30 in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon. They're a little leisurely there at various time periods due to the activities that go on in the Green Valley area. We're in the north end of Green Valley. Come off the Duval Mine Road exit and then head on down to the Duval Mine Roads and you'll approach Calle de las Tiendas. Hours of operation, I think I may have mentioned there, from about 8:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon. I do want to extend a thank you to those of you that have called the store this week as a result of listening to me on the radio program or have stopped in and sharing experiences. That's most important. There's always things to learn throughout the building industry, and a lot of times items catch you by surprise from that standpoint, especially in repairing a lot of activities. We did had one this past week that an individual had bought a chest of drawer system, and he was looking at replacing the glides that were associated with the drawers. We did find the glides that looked like they would work, but interesting enough, a pair of the glides for one drawer were about $25 a piece. He wanted four sets of them. That put it well over $100 plus shipping. And he says, wow, he says, I can't believe that. He says, I only paid $50 for the chest of drawers. And now he wants to fix up the glides to make it work properly. A lot of those old items are available. However, they are costly to a certain extent. Either they're being remanufactured or an individual company has acquired them through various arrangements with the manufacturer to start off with. So keep us in mind for items of that nature. We can secure and pick up a lot of strange items like that that would help your system or may be able to assist you in coming up with a reconstruction system that whereby you can put on some brand new glides and nobody will ever notice the difference until they start sliding them back and forth. One of our other major activities at A. Hanny Manshaven, and we did pick up a couple jobs or projects this past week, and that is constructing brand new boxes behind face frames of cabinetry. So what happens to a lot of customers? They may end up buying a set of cabinetry off of the web on the programs that are out there where you can pick up items that are for sale. Or they may have had a major water leak in which the boxes have been contaminated with mold or water and started separating accordingly. So with a real good face frame, we could build a brand new box behind it for you, and that will maintain the good looks of your cabinetry that you have without tearing them all out, putting them all brand new, and then maybe the insurance company saying, or the restoration company are involved, that you're not going to be able to change out the uppers, and therefore you're going to have a mismatch of uppers and the bottom of the cabinetry where the damage occurred. Well, we can solve that with good face frames, and that's one thing that I request that you remember, that when you do have a major water leak, that when they come in to do the remediation on your water, that try to have them save the face frames as much as they can, because they will be going in and ripping out the cabinetry, ripping out the drywall, at least up to about 4 feet or so, putting in big blower systems and everything else involved in order to get rid of the extra humidity or moisture that's in the air to recirculate that. So we do have that capability. We got two projects going on right now, as well as I've mentioned in the past, but just to keep you informed, we do fabricate our own countertops in-house for those individuals who would like to have a special countertop and get rid of the 45-degree or splice miters that they may have on their countertop, which have separated. We are working with one at the present time period. I do have pictures of it, and there's about a quarter-inch gap where the 45-degree miter is joining together, and the customer had said, yes, it's like every day I've got to get out a knife or a fork or something like that, or a scraper, and scrape out all the particles that drop down into it, let alone the water is just basically destroyed the countertop in that area. It's no doubt developed some mold and algae. By the picture, you could tell the coloration of everything. So we can make what we call a seamless countertop in a corner. Depending upon the magnitude of the countertop, we may have a laminate seam also, which would be showing on the top. But we also ensure when we make that, for fabricate that countertop in-house, that the particle board seam on the bottom side of it is not in alignment with the laminate seam. So this gives you a countertop that's not going to move or anything from that nature, and really good from that standpoint. I see we're coming up on our first break here. When we get back for the break, I'll talk about some more of the countertops that we have at A Handyman's Haven. I normally do this on the first part of the show to let you folks know that what we can accomplish at A Handyman's Haven. So right now we're on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk, and our production engineer John Couch is got his hands on all the toggle switches over there, and here it comes, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. I really appreciate that comment, trusted local news and talk, and I try to make sure that the things that I discuss with you, I have foundations for the backup of it, that so I could research them further and give you the information that I think is very valuable to you. We were talking about countertops at the end of our first segment, and we do stock many, many linear feet of countertops, mainly in 12-foot pieces. We got them for vanities, which are 21 inches deep from front to back. We have kitchen countertops that are 24 inches from front to back as far as the cabinets goes. These types of countertops have an integrated backsplash. And what I mean by that is it's a single piece of laminate that not only forms the front edge, but it continues to the backsplash on the countertop itself as it goes up the back wall. And normally the front edge will match the back edge, or the backsplash edge, the top of it will match the front edge. There are some different aspects of that, especially when you're using the type of edge that it was formulated back in the mid-1900s when Formica first acquired the patent for lamination of countertops. And that edge is today called the classic edge, which is a square edge. That seems to be the majority of the edges that you see in commercial installations, and we can provide that edge without any difficulty. But down at A Handyman's Haven, we can provide for you 10 feet of countertop of those two that I just described for $90. That's $9 a linear foot. If you want to look at the square foot price, you can divide about three into that as an example. Divide three in the nine, and you're looking at $3.50 or $4 per square foot. Considerably less than you can acquire any natural stone countertop. And natural stones we consider to be marble, travertine, slate, soapstone, granite in that case. Those are the natural stones. Those are mined from quarries in the earth, and they're shipped in from all over the world to the United States. Many of them come from very interesting countries from that standpoint, because that's where the predominant large boulders are, so to speak, that where they're mined in the quarry. With our countertop, that is $90 for 10 feet, $9 per linear foot. All straight cuts are included in that countertop, and if that's all you need, we could probably get that countertop out for you while you wait, because straight cuts are pretty easy to accomplish. If we need to do any buildup on the countertops to finish it off for you, or have to do a miter, a 45-degree miter or so, we'll put you into our queue of work, and that would mean that in about 3 to 5 days we'll be able to get your countertop ready to go. All we need is your accurate dimensions from that standpoint, and that will solve all the difficulties. And the installation should go relatively easy from that standpoint. We talked about earlier about the seamless countertop, but we also classify that as a personalized countertop for various aspects that you would like. And we do that for $20 a square foot. That includes full templating and measuring, the fabrication, and then the rest of it comes up to you or your installer to pick it up and install it within your home. But with those types of tops, it's very unusual if we have a cut-through countertop, because that's what we strive to accomplish. When that does occur, it normally happens as a result of that we can't get the big piece of countertop in the home and lay it down appropriately. So we may have to cut it up to a certain instance in order to get the pieces in and walk through the home with these gigantic pieces. The longest countertop that we've ever manufactured is about 175 inches long on one side and 37 inches wide, so to speak, on the L-shaped of the other side. Took us four people to march it into the home. We got it in, laid it down, the installer installed it, and he was through in about an hour or so as he got it anchored into the position. Tremendous advantage in those types of countertops at a very low cost from that standpoint. This past week, we should anticipate, I mentioned earlier about our new cabinet line that we have brought on, that they have some 30 different styles of colors, as well as fabrication methods that they utilize to make their cabinets. We should receive our first truckload in about 4 to 5 weeks. We're looking to be very excited about acquiring those. We can do special orders. We are going to stock about three of these types of styles. They may vary at time periods, but that'll give us an opportunity to provide the cabinetry on a regular basis from that standpoint. So this is going to be challenging to come up with a sufficient space to stock all the countertops from that standpoint. So keep us in mind from that case. They'll be very economically priced. They're also capable of running the cost up when various amenities are required for the cabinetry or the efficiency of your kitchen that you would like. I talked about this in the past also, is medicine cabinets. Many of the medicine cabinets in most of the homes, every home that I've been in at least throughout my life, I finally got fed up with most of them, the way they looked. And so we came up with an operation where if you're redoing your kitchen or redoing your bathroom, we can take any bathroom style of cabinet that you may purchase from us. We can acquire the wall cabinet that's associated with those cabinets, either 30 inches tall, 36 inches tall, 21 inches tall, whatever is would make you happy and satisfied. We can turn that into a medicine cabinet for you. You can either surface mount it, or if you have no obstructions in the walls behind where you would like that medicine cabinet, you can also embed it in the wall structure. This would also give you a deeper cabinet from front to back. Typically, we use 8 inches as a guide for the depth of the cabinetry. So you can imagine an 8-inch deep cabinet, that's from the front to back measurement, that may be, let's say, 48 inches wide and 30 inches tall, that the amount of items that you have in your home that you'd be able to store in your vanity and have readily available at your arm's distance away, and basically be able to see in it from top to bottom, not have to worry about getting down on your hands and knees and looking in the back of a cabinet. So lots of capability, and that's what I initially designed when I was remodeling my own personal home, and I have those styles of cabinets in all our bathrooms, two of them mainly. And one of them is a good 6 feet wide. It's two 30-inch cabinets put together with sliding mirrors on both of them in a double bowl sink arrangement. It's very easy to accomplish many changes by knowing how the construction field works. And we at A. Handyman's Haven have that capability. And it's always very satisfying when a customer comes in and we talk about these various things. And they indicate, well, I didn't know that you could do that. And I says, yes, that's entirely possible. Wood is a rather forgiving item to work with over metal, as an example. Not too many metal cabinets are around anymore, but there are certain people that do request those. But anyway, lots of things can be done as far as the plumbing goes, the drawer boxes, from that standpoint. I do know a while back, I've built and constructed a cabinet, as an example, that has a sink arrangement in it. It appears that the cabinetry, it's about a 30-inch wide cabinet, has 8 drawers, as an example. There's at least 8 faceplates on the front of the cabinet, but only one of the faceplates are inoperative to the extent that that's where the sink bowl sits. So it's pretty hard to have a drawer and have it run right through the sink. So we got there are 7 active drawers within this cabinet, and the plumbing goes right to the back wall, and we maintain the stability of the cabinetry as well as the effective storage capability by modifying the depth of the cabinet boxes when need to be. Increases your storage, makes it very efficient from that standpoint. Another advantage of having big sliding mirrors in front of you that a lot of homeowners like to have a mirror behind them. And so while they're, especially us men as an example, that have a lot of a styling that goes on within our hairstyles, and we want to see what the back of our head looks like, so we could style our hair from the front and bend our head back and forth a little bit and then see what the back also looks like. You know, the back is just as important as the front. And if you think I do that, folks, I'm sort of joking with you at the present time, but many women like to have mirrors behind them so they can see what goes on, and that's easily accomplished. And if you want to modify your existing medicine cabinet arrangement, we can accomplish that for you. You can take that mirror you have on the front wall, and hopefully you're able to remount it on the back wall. And so now you have a very, very wide mirror on the back wall and with an excellent storage on the front wall. So keep that in mind when you're looking at minor phases of remodeling. There has been recently, I noticed, and maybe I'll talk a little bit more about this after the next break that's coming up, but there's been published in 2 or 3 areas of the printed material that's been going around the Tucson area, whereby they're discussing the a rate of return on the investment that you may do associated with remodeling. And I remember that several months ago, I introduced to the listening audience out there of various costs of remodeling and what the rate of return was when you would decide to possibly sell your home and how much cost would you get out of the increase in cost of the sale of your home as a result of that? And I thought that was pretty interesting. But one thing I've noticed in these articles that are coming out, that they're not talking about the so-called ooh-ah factor. In other words, when you walk in a home and things don't quite look right, your ooh-ah factor, so to speak, is pretty low. If you want to do something to your home and you wonder what you can do to make it to look nice, I think one of the main things that need to be considered is how long do you plan on living in your home? And a lot of times that can be rather a strange time period from that standpoint. We may say, we're only going to be here 2 or 3 years, and then it may end up being 20 years. So it looks like, folks, we've come to the end of our second segment here, and we're going to have John Couch, our production engineer, take it away and bring back some fine announcements for us. Yes, folks, we work on buildings. That's called remodeling or renovations. So good pick, John. I like that sort of music. Get you all jazzed up and listening to this program. I am Maurice from A. Hanny Man's Haven, transmitting the A. Hanny Man's Haven radio studio with your trusted local news and talk. If you have any questions you'd like to ask on any subject, not necessarily the ones that I've been talking about today, but please give us a call here at 520-790-2040. We'll entertain the question for you, and I'll hopefully be able to give you a very informative answer from that standpoint. So I was talking a little bit about remodeling and the cost of remodeling and things of that nature and how you can enhance your rate of return on remodeling your home and putting it up for sale. As you know, we have many, many, many investors in the Tucson area that are buying older homes in various conditions. And I know that we work on a lot of those. We're probably measuring 4 or 5 or 6 of those every week for some of the investors in town, and then providing excellent cabinet arrangement and assisting them in keeping everything flowing on an even schedule for them. But the rate of return on investment, I know there's this article that is being published lately or for reference material. One thing I thought was very stunning is that the greatest rate of return on any project that you may do within your home is in your roofing. And I thought that that was really interesting. And, of course, the ooh-ah factor of a roof, I think, is probably down around zero with most individuals because, yes, they drive up to the home on a daily basis, and, yes, you see the roof. But the only time you really get concerned about your roof, and this is the time of the season of the year for right now, is the rainy season, or as we label it here, the monsoon season. And if your roof leaks, believe me, your rate of return on that needs to be pretty significant in order to prevent your roof from leaking. So that is a problem. I know I've had a couple roof leaks in my house since I've been in it over the period of time, and it's really too stunning when you start having a roof leak or a water leak. It really does take your mind and twist it around back and forth and up and down and sideways because you never know how much damage is going to be done, how much mold is going to be built up or algae from that standpoint. And we've worked on homes that where people have been out of their homes for 6 months, 8 months, from that nature, while all the material comes in and they can get it cleaned up and straightened out. So the ooh-ah factor on a roof is pretty low, but the rate of return when you can tell someone that your roof is only 2 years old or 4 years old, you can have a roofing expert come out and take a look at the roof, and they'll give an estimate on what they think the lifespan of that roof is. And so on an annual or a prescribed basis of timing, the homeowner should consider repainting the top of the roof with some good reflective paint. From that standpoint, maybe with low VOCs, that's volatile organic compounds, and so the runoff water doesn't contaminate the earth. And the paint that is being used has a high reflectivity of the ultraviolet rays. So that's probably where most of the money should go if that does come about. And it can be rather costly. There is absolutely no doubt about that. But there are many roofing companies in town. One that I've used in various aspects are the West Coast Roofing Company. So if you need to give them a call to work on your roof, please give them some consideration from that standpoint. One thing on roofing, when you start your roofing, you may want to take a look, especially if you have a gabled roof, or maybe even if you have a flat roof, though a lot of it you can do it from the inside if it's a flat roof, to see what the insulation quality of your structure is. Remember that 80% of your heat loss and heat gain, and I know I've talked about this in the past, and I think it's extremely significant, goes vertical in a home. So 80% of your heat loss, when you heat a home, the heat goes to the ceiling. When you cool a home, the coolness of the home goes to the floor. And if you have good heat sinks, as we call them, that can take care of that, that's probably a good place where they go. But 80% goes vertical. So heat goes through the top, and heat comes in through the top as a result of the sun. And as many of us know right now, that the sun is just blasting away at us at three-digit figures and higher. I have been in Tucson as an example. When the temperature of Tucson has exceeded 120 degrees, the relative humidity is below recordable level, which is normally at the 1% factor. And I think at one time period when I was back in school, it was like at 0.7%, the relative humidity. And that does make walking around Arizona, especially the southern portion, rather efficient, because when you're outside sweating, as an example, being at the air is very dry, you're going to feel relatively cool because the air is going to suck the water right off your skin and tend to cool it down, just like an evaporative cooler does within your home structure. So keep that in mind. But when you have to redo a roof, and you may have some panels that have to be exchanged out as a result of that, take a look at what your insulation quality is, especially if it's a flat roof. You may not have very much insulation. Or if it's a gabled roof, you also may not have. I know that when I did a roof of a few years back on my home, the insulation was a piece of craft paper with aluminum foil on it. And it was attached to both sides of the roof rafters, and that was the insulation quality. Basically speaking, the insulation quality of that roof was zero as far as the eliminating a heat loss or a heat gain. So what I basically did is I contacted a company. We got a blower system going, and I opened up many avenues of the roof system where I could get to the longitudinal axis or the longest length of the rafters, and we blew in as much insulation as we could. So consequently, I know that my home is very, very efficient from that standpoint when we talk about the R factor. When you've heard of the R factor, you could go down to the home centers and you can buy R-rated either bats or blankets. That's R32 or R30 or R18, R19, depending upon the thickness of the wall that you're using. And if you want to know what the R factor is when you gang two pieces of those material together, the really easy way to do it is if you have an R30 sitting on top of R30, you now have an R60. So the higher the R rating, the greater the insulation quality or the most efficiency of the insulation in the heat loss and heat gain. So it'll become very, very minimal. I know that a home recently that we worked on, the customer had in excess of R100 placed in the roof rafters of the home that they were constructing. So that's going to be very, very efficient from that standpoint. They're putting a metal roof on it. The metal roof will be somewhat of a light color, and therefore they'll have good reflectivity. They'll have basically no transmission of heat going vertical within the home structure itself. So keep that in mind. If you take a look at windows as an example, most windows are rated in a U factor, or actually the U is supposed to be a Greek U, which is called mu. And It's 1 over R. So mu equals 1 over R or U equals 1 over R. So if you have R30 and you want to know what the U factor is, so you can maintain your sensibility in relating these items back and forth, divide 30 into 1, and therefore you're going to have the U factor, which is going to be like 0.333333, something of that nature. So if it's 6 that you're dividing in there, it could be somewhat less than that. It'll be 0.1 to start off with, and then it could get up close to 0.2. So good information on keeping your utility bill lower as far as the electrical aspect goes. And as most of us know, electrical bills as well as water bills seem to excel up the height of a mountain, so to speak, as time goes on. And I do remember years ago reading an article whereby you may get your house paid off, but you find your utility bills at that time period. They were taking a look at telephone bills. They were taking a look at water bill, electric bills are going to be very extensive as far as managing your money in your home, especially if you're on a fixed income. As we know, we could save a lot of water from that standpoint and use that savings of water in order to water a lot of plants. There are a couple associations in Tucson that have a lot of expertise concerning water harvesting. I believe one of them is on Fort Lowell, maybe in the vicinity of Dodge Boulevard. Then there's another one that's off of Speedway in the vicinity of the Alvernon area. I believe it's on the north side of the street, not right by Alvernon, but a little bit west of Alvernon. One of them that I visited, as an example, they took a swimming pool that people wanted to get rid of their swimming pool, and they converted it into a water harvesting tank. And from there, they acquired a filtration system. So whenever it rains or of that nature, the water goes into the swimming pool area. Of course, it's totally protected. And then the water is pumped out of the swimming pool into the purification system. This is all monitored almost daily on any pollutants that may get involved. That's so they can have the potable water, which is drinking water, for the individuals in the home complex. So there are some excellent locations in Tucson where you can gain a lot of information on water harvesting. But a lot of it's pretty simple. You can put gutters on the side of your roof. As an example, collect all the water when you have a gabled roof and then channel it towards a tank if you so desire, or you could water the plants right then and there and get that all fixed up for you. So a couple other things that are going on. I'd like to talk a little bit about caulking and sealants at the present time. And many of us heard about the Gorilla Glue. But the Gorilla Glue has also come out with a silicone sealant that will not yellow, shrink, or crack. And it's also paintable. The typical thing about caulking, as an example, most of us are used to acrylic caulking. And when we use acrylic caulking, we better make sure that the surface behind it is extremely clean, and that you can get a good seal between the acrylic caulking and the surface we're trying to seal. A lot of times in showers are done on the cracks. And if you do have some breakdown in the seal of the acrylic caulking because it maybe dries out in time, which is what it characteristically does, it could crack due to house shifting, and then you are going to build up mold, especially if it's in the shower or the tub area. So Gorilla Glue has a silicone sealant that won't yellow, which sometimes is a characteristic of silicone. It won't shrink or it won't crack, and it's paintable. And that's been one of the difficult phases of coming up with silicone that has been paintable. So give, not that I'm a salesperson for Gorilla Glue type operations, the sealant is probably pretty good and can surely help you on your cracks from that standpoint. There's nothing more disconcerting that when you do seal up the corners of your shower walls or bathtub walls, whatever it may happen to be, that you find out they're cracking and you see little black spots that may come about as a result of that. One of the other things I found in the literature is, this is by, and I don't know whether it's a proper pronunciation or not, I think it's a German company because they got these fancy things around the vowels, which is the A. I call it the Halfley Company. That's H, it's Hotel, Alpha, Foxtrot, Echo, Lima, Echo. They've been a great designer of a lot of drawer glides and other types of things that work within the home. And they have now come out with what they call the Standard Motorized Wardrobe Lift. So if you happen to have a wardrobe in your closet, as an example, and you happen to have one that you can't quite reach and put the hangers on, and then you have one low because you're using the hanger systems that you would like to have for shirts of that nature or blouses, you can take the upper one and put it motorized, as an example. The range of movement is somewhere around 30 inches in height. That's vertical from top to bottom. It can hold a capacity of 60 pounds, and that's very, very important. And you can get them up to 48 inches wide. You can also get them up to 70 pounds of capacity if you so desire. We've come to the end of our third segment, folks. We're going to have Mr. John take it away, and we'll see you after the break on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show, transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven Radio Studio. I do see we have a phone call, and good afternoon, Charles. Welcome to the show. How may I assist you today?
I just wanted to tell you, you're talking about energy saving, and something I've discovered lately in the last couple of months is LED lighting with a motion detector in it. These are battery-powered lights. And when you walk by them, they pop on, or you walk in the room, they pop on. And my electric bill, including the use of some air conditioning, not much, only in the rooms I'm in, last month was $116 for a four-bedroom house.
$116 for four bedrooms.
Right. Now, I haven't been cooling the rooms I'm not in, and I haven't been lighting the places where I'm not in the room itself. But by putting up LED lights with four AA batteries, which pretty well last forever, I'm told, because the LED doesn't take much electricity, number one, and the light only stays on for 2 minutes after you move. So if you stay moving in the room, the light stays on. But if you don't, the light goes off. And this is, I've mentioned on the air before that this is wonderful in the room where the camouflage dog parks herself in the middle and you don't see her walking through with the lights off. This is just perfect for avoiding the camouflage dog in the middle of the floor in the middle of the night.
You know, that's very true. I don't know whether you've done any waving action as a result of that, but and the reason I say that, we happen to have one down at the store. Uh-huh. It's a motion sensor. And people say, geez, I was sitting there. I thought that was interesting. Okay. I'm sitting there in a bathroom, and all of a sudden the lights went out, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong.
Right.
So here they are sitting in the dark, you know, right. From that standpoint. But, it does.
Well, what happens is every time I step into a room, I do the wave. And if someone's ever here visiting and they see that, they go, you don't have to wave at me. I'm right here. But that's okay.
Yes.
Turn the light on as we walk through the house. So.
Well, it makes a big difference, you know, from that standpoint. And I'm going to equip more of mine in homes with motion sensors on it. But the other advantage is, like you just talked about, is that the LED lighting will really cut down on your electric bill from that standpoint. And, you know, so many times you'll walk out of the house or walk out of a room and forget to turn the lights off, and it's nice to have something to remind you that you need to turn them off. And when you go back in, you find, oh, I must have turned them off.
Right, yeah. The other thing I've got is a light bulb that has a battery inside of it.
Oh, wow.
And if the power goes off, you've got 3 hours of lighting.
That's fascinating. What company manufactures those? Do you remember?
I get them from American Science and Surplus. And, you know, I'm sure it's probably made by some Chinese communist that's using it to monitor my house. But by the same token, it does provide us an emergency backup. So, but it's American Science and Surplus is where I've been getting all these things.
Are they in Tucson or is it an online company?
It's internet. It's an online company. Okay. I wish I could buy it from A Handyman's Haven. I'd much rather buy it from you than I would buy it online. And I just think it's an awfully neat product. It's a nice add-on. I mean, they're not very expensive. I mean, you're talking $7.50 for a light. It's not a lot of money, but it's just a tremendous amount of convenience. And also, I snicker because I hardly ever turn on. I occasionally turn on a light switch, but more often I'll turn on a fan switch and leave the light off in the room and just, you know, wave my arm occasionally. Another thing it does is it really encourages you not to be sedentary.
That's true.
You want to get up and stretch to turn the light on.
Well, you got to keep moving. And I don't know whether you are aware of it or not, and maybe some of the listening audience is not, but when we talk about motion, yes, when you wave your hands and things like that, you create movement of the air. And what really causes those automatic sensors to work for you is that they really sense change of temperature. And by moving your hand through the air, you change the temperature of the air. And it is so designed that it really analyzes a small movement or the very small temperature changes that go about. And therefore, that's why we call them IR sources sometimes.
Ah, well, for those of you that don't think you make a difference, move your hand near a motion detector light and find out that you do.
That's true. That'll work. It's good to hear your voice today, Charles, and I hope you have a very pleasant week. So.
You too. Good reading to you.
Thank you. Yeah, good reading to you. I appreciate that very much.
See ya.
Okay. So we talked about LED lightings. They're really great. A tremendous invention from that standpoint. It does reduce your power requirements in that the LED lights are set up on a 12-volt systems. And you know if you're only using 12 volts and whenever it's on or not. That has a transformer that downs it from 120 volts down to 12 volts. Very low amperage. They've come a long, long way, as we say, in order to accommodate many of the lighting systems we have. I know down at the store where we've changed out almost every one of our fluorescent light systems to LED light systems and saw a significant drop in our electric bill. We've got close to 250 four-foot, as we call them in the past, tubular lights or fluorescent lights, which are now operated on an LED system. And our light bill is very, very insignificant for the 23,000 square feet that we light on a daily basis. So just to give you a little heads up, we have a great program coming on. After my program of A Handyman's Haven, it's the Prather Hour with Jeff Prather. He's all beefed up for all the activities that have occurred since last Sunday. And as most of us know, there's surely enough activities for him to be talking about. So I do invite you to stick around for another hour and listen to the comments that Jeff has concerning the various activities that are going on within our entire political system within the United States. So we talked about the motorized wardrobe lift. They do have what they call an extended motorized system, which has a capacity of 70 pounds. It does come in two finishes, which are chrome and black, and also black on black. So give that company a whirl online. It's a Haffele company. That's Haffele, Hotel Alpha Foxtrot Echo Lima Echo. Help you with lowering all the merchandise that you may have in your closets and gives you extended capability from that standpoint. In a short period of time we have left here, I'd like to talk a little bit about energy efficiencies that the boomers are looking for in today's, for those people that are out there remodeling that may be listening. The boomers are people that are in the 55-year category and a little bit older. And from that standpoint, these are some of the things that they're looking for in energy efficiency homes. They do are looking at the windows, which I talked a little bit about earlier. I really think that there's nothing wrong with having single-pane windows, but with keeping the windows open as much as we do around, I shouldn't say the windows open, but keeping any drapes or anything else to leave the windows visible when you look through them, it would be good to have insulated glass from that standpoint. I would really stay away from the cost of triple glass, if at all possible, or quadruple glass, which is also available. The other thing that you may want to look at is a National Green Building Standard. The letters are November, Golf, Bravo, Sierra. And they also would have a rating as far as the system goes from that standpoint. We're coming to the end of our program at this time period. It's my pleasure being with you. We're transmitting on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. And folks, we'll see you next week.